Thank you for tuning in to the Church on the Rock weekly podcast. We love staying connected to you no matter where you are and hope you enjoy this week's message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit us at churchontherock.net.
Thank you guys for being a part of our church, even from afar. I'm going to do some shout-outs today. I haven't done this in quite a while, but I had an interesting week because I got through, whether it was an email, a text message, some sort of video share, or some conversation, I actually coincidentally heard from several of you that are faithful. You watch or listen every single week, so I'm going to give a couple shout-outs to you. Just want you to know how much you're loved. So I'm shouting out the two families that follow us from Wisconsin, our cheese heads. Love and appreciate the fact that you guys are week after week after week, you tell us that, hey, we're following and we are loving it. I appreciate that. Also want to shout out our faithful followers in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You guys are loved and appreciated. Thank you for being a part of our church, even from a distance. I want to shout out Andy in Puerto Rico. I love you, man. And thank you for being a part of our church, even from a distance. I'm going to shout out Joel's from Australia. Thank you for being a part week in, week out. It's so awesome. And then I'm going to give a special shout out to John in Wichita, Kansas. Love you, man, and appreciate you being with us from afar. And then the last one, and this one, you will not see me, even though I'm talking to the camera. You don't watch us, but you listen every week, giving some special love to my cousin, everybody, who is faithful to be a part of our church, listens to our messages every week. Just want to remind you, dude, hey, I love you, I believe in you, and the best is yet to come. Would you give it up, everybody, for those that follow us? You guys are so awesome, and we really appreciate it. Really, really. It's amazing. And then I'll just say this, that if I didn't get you, like if you're like, well, hey, what's up? I follow every week. Connect to us. Go to our website. Click that Contact Us tab and let us know where you're watching from. And here in a couple weeks, I'll compile some more shout outs and would just love to give you a holler and let you know. We just appreciate what I'm going to call church online. So thank you so much for being a part of our online campus. That sound good to you guys? So again, thank you guys. We love you. Appreciate your support. And we're glad that we can serve you. Thank God for technology, right? Amen. So we are in this season, our fall season of 21 days of prayer. Our church does this twice a year. It really started for us years and years ago that we would start our year off with 21 days of prayer and fasting. And just a few short years ago, we started to initiate a fall focus of prayer. And the reason that we did that is just because people have natural like ebbs and flows in seasons of life. Wouldn't you agree? There's just certain times of the year, like at the start of the year, everybody's thinking about new beginnings and resolutions. Like just everybody's thinking about that. And so we like to just say, hey, then if that's what our minds are on, let's start there and let's just give the first of our year to God. And so we sacrificially get into a 21-day season of prayer and fasting, which that's where the sacrifice comes from. It's not easy to say no to things that we love. And then in the fall, just because people are potentially coming out of some summer slumps, been on vacation, relaxed a little more, you know, just kind of maybe some habits have fallen off. We said, man, let's just initiate 21 days of what we call fasting, 21 days of prayer and feasting. Come on, somebody. How about that? Yeah, like eat it all, but just pray. And so this season, we really felt like God was calling us to a season of listening. And so what we've been communicating in this series is that we serve a God who speaks, everybody. He is alive and well, and he speaks to his church. The Bible says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And so we have been posturing ourselves to be in a position to just say, God, we just want to hear from you. We want to receive from you. We want to listen to what it is that you have to say. And so today is day 22. Of 21 days of prayer. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. Like this is the fourth part of our series, but here's what I want to say is that I don't want to ask you, church, to listen to God for 21 days. I want to ask you to listen to God always. Yeah. And so what do we do on day 22 and beyond? Because really, we've gotten ourselves into some good habits, into some good disciplines. And some of us have carved out time that we never had before and space for God to speak. And I would hate for us to jump into day 22 and then fall off the wagon, right? And so I want to bring you a message today that's really like day 22 and beyond. Man, how do we continue to hear from God and have what we've called an inclined ear, that we're going to set our ear to hear hear what God says. And I'm very, very excited to get into the content today. I want to bring to you this story that it was probably 6 weeks ago or so in my Bible time. I was reading through the book of 2 Chronicles, which, let me just go ahead and be honest. Is it okay if I'm just like real transparent? I'm super transparent. Can I just be real with you today? Everybody good with that? Chronicles is not the most interesting place in the Bible to be reading. I'm just being real with you. It's like one of those where it's like, sometimes you're just sort of trudging through some data, some history, the chronicles of the history of the Bible. But man, there are nuggets of wealth in there if you'll mine for them. And so I'm just in, I do the YouVersion Bible app. I'm doing the one-year Bible. So I typically do that where I will read the whole Bible in a year. And so it told me to read in this particular portion. And I'm there that day and I get to 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and I find myself laughing. Like, this is the funniest story ever. And I'm having such a good time reading this story. And I'm writing some notes thinking about this series. So I'm like, oh, I know we've got this listening series come up and this really fits. And just the comedy in it just made me like, this is really, really good. Wrote the note down and then quite frankly, almost forgot about it. It was a week and a half ago in my study time that I found the note and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is part four. Like God, he's so good, right? Like this is part four. And so I want to unpack that with us today. I just want to talk on the fourth part of this series. I want to talk on day 22, continue to talk about hearing the voice of God. And what I want to specifically communicate today is how we know that it's the voice of God. So let's get started. If you're a note taker, inside the worship guide that you were given when you walked in is a sermon note insert. I'd love for you to take that out and write some things with us today. If you're not a note taker, that's perfectly fine. I'll just relax and receive what we have. But I'm going to take you to this story, 2 Chronicles chapter 18, and just follow along with me. We're going to read kind of the whole thing, and then I'm going to warn you, okay, that we're going to dip our feet into the theological side of things, and then we're going to dive into the practical side, all right? So we're just going to put our feet in the water of theology for a minute, and then we're going to swim in practicality today. Sound good? But here we go, 2 Chronicles 18. The Bible says, Jehoshaphat enjoyed great riches and high esteem. And he made an alliance with Ahab of Israel by having his son marry Ahab's daughter. A few years later, he went to Samaria to visit Ahab, who prepared a great banquet for him and his officials. And they butchered great numbers of sheep, goats, cattle, and all this stuff for the feast. And Ahab enticed Jehoshaphat to join forces with him to recover Ramoth-Gilead. And he says, verse 3, will you go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And then King Ahab of Israel, or he's asking Jehoshaphat of Judah. And Jehoshaphat says, why, of course, you and I are as one, and my troops are your troops. We will certainly join you in battle. Verse 4, this is where we're going to kind of focus some things. Then Jehoshaphat added, but first, let's find out what the Lord says. And I love this about Jehoshaphat, that he's like, this sounds great. Like, hey, dude, I'm with you. We're family now. Our kids are married. I'll go to battle with you. You have access to my troops. But I would like to seek the counsel of the Lord. What does he say? Is what Jehoshaphat asked, okay, as we move. So the king of Israel, which is Ahab, he summoned the prophets, 400 of them, and asked them, should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or should I hold back? And they all replied, yes, go right ahead. Notice this, God will give the king the victory. So notice this, capital G, notice this, capital G, God. So they say, all right, fine. If you want to seek the voice of the Lord, let's go get all the prophets. They bring in 400 of them, and they declare that God says go. Okay, but watch the very next verse. I just want you to watch what Jehoshaphat says. But Jehoshaphat asked, is there not also a prophet of the Lord here? Which I found to be very interesting, because didn't they just say that God said? But there's something going on in the spirit of Jehoshaphat. Something's not settling with him. And he says, okay, all right, like, that's good. Like, I've heard their counsel. But is there a prophet of the Lord in the, like, can we ask this guy? And then he says, I just think that we should ask him the same question. Okay, so here we come, right here, our feet. We're going to dip them into the theological side. I'm going to show you this. The word God that these prophets are using, go ahead and throw it up there for me, is the word Elohim. All right, this is not in your notes. This is bonus material. You can write it in the margin if you want to. But they're speaking for this Elohim. All right, so let me just kind of unpack this a little bit. Elohim is a Hebrew word, and if you look at its meaning, it defines it to be multiple gods, like a lot of gods. It's plural. This word Elohim is used in reference to our God, the God that we serve. And again, I'm going to do my best not to go deeper than we need to go, but give you enough depth to give the context of what we need to cover today. Does that sound fair? Because this thing, I mean, we could swim deep, but again, we're just putting our feet in, right? This word Elohim is used to define the one true living God, the God that we serve. And in its context, when it's used that way, it's referring to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one. It's a picture of the Trinity. But this word is also able to be used in other contexts. So it can be used when speaking of angels or speaking of powerful things, spiritual things in a plural form. Everybody tracking with me? So they say, hey, God says go, but they say Elohim says go. And then Jehoshaphat says, thanks, but is there a prophet of the Lord, which is the word Jehovah? This is a very singular and very specific Hebrew word that only identifies one person, and that is God Almighty. And so he's saying, like I hear you, but I want to know, what does God say? What is his thoughts on this thing? And so it's important that you see that. Now, if you'll do me a favor, Paula, let's go back to verse 5. I want you to recognize that they say, capital G, God. Like, God said go. And then verse 6, we're just bear with me a moment. Verse 6, if you'll switch it for me. Then he says, but I want to hear from the Lord. Okay, so now we know that they're referencing Elohim. Jehoshaphat says, I want to hear from Jehovah. All right, so here we go. Let's move. All right, ready? We're going to move on, and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to pull this whole thing together for us. Here we go. Next verse, as we get into the story. This is where, to me, it got really funny. Honestly, it was the humor that brought me back to study this deeper. God used the funny part of it to get me into it a little bit, and I just love how God does it. But the king, this is awesome, the king of Israel replied to Jehoshaphat, there is one more man who could consult the Lord for us, but I hate him. I hate that guy. Which to me is really, really funny. Yeah, there it is, like, that I hate him. Which is really funny because this is a king. This is the king of Israel, and he sounds like a teenager describing his third period biology teacher. That's exactly what he sounds like. Like, yeah, school's good and all that, but my biology teacher, man, I hate that guy. And I'm laughing because I'm like, isn't this dude supposed to be a king and like dignified and professional and all this stuff? And he's like, yeah, there's a dude, but I hate that dude, which is really funny. And then he says this, listen to the whininess a little bit of his voice. He never prophesies anything but trouble for me. His name is Micaiah, son of Imlah. And he's just like, And I was laughing, guys. I was like, this is the funniest thing ever. This powerful, dignified king, and he sounds like a dissatisfied teenager. I don't know. It's really funny. Next verse, we go to verse 8. And so they say, all right, let's go get him. And Jehoshaphat actually says, like, homie, you shouldn't be talking like that. Like, that's not very king-like of you. He actually challenges that, but they say, all right, let's go get him. By the way, we're jumping ahead to verse 14. They go and they get Micaiah, and they say, hey, the king wants to hear from you what you say for the Lord. And then they tell him, just say what he wants to hear. That's what they tell him. Like, look, let me give you some advice. Just say what the king wants to hear. So they come back, and when Micaiah arrived before the king, Ahab asked him, Micaiah, should we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or should I hold back? And Micaiah replied sarcastically, this is so fun. Yes, go up and be victorious, for you will have victory. So he's just like, now he's just being sarcastic. You're going to win. But the king replied sharply, how many times must I demand that you speak only the truth when you speak for the There it is again, for Jehovah, all right? How many times must I tell you? Next slide. Then Micaiah told him, watch this, in a vision, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said that their master has been killed. Send them home in peace. And so, and then let's just for the fun of it, didn't I tell you, didn't I tell you, the king of Israel exclaimed, he never prophesies anything but trouble. He's getting all whiny. I told you so. Told you so. Now here's what I want to identify, and here's really what I want to talk about, is that here we have this example of people who say we want to hear from God, and they have conflicting voices. I personally, I'm just going to give you my thoughts on this. I believe that the prophets were speaking for God Almighty, but they were misrepresenting him. And then they said, let's, like Jehoshaphat has a sensitivity enough to the Lord to say, this doesn't sound right. Something's off here. Is there anybody else? Yes, there is this prophet. Well, let's hear from him. What does he say? And then when he comes and speaks, there's a different message being given. So we're real people, aren't we? We live in a real world. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but when it comes to hearing the voice of the Lord, it can be a tricky thing. Yes. And I don't know about you, but you might be aware, I've found this to be true, that there are crazy people out there. Some of them might attend our church. I don't know. Don't look around. I'm just saying. If you're like, well, I've never met a crazy person in this church ever. Chances are. No, I'm kidding. It's not you. I'm just... bad pastor. So there are people who just get off base a little bit, or maybe they're not in tune to what God is saying. Come on, right? And so especially, honestly, you guys see me do this all the time, this spiritual journey that people are on, and on this end are the people that's like, I'm just getting started, and I'm like, I'm trying to figure this out, and I really want to grow. Like, there's this passion and desire to grow in God. And then there's others in the church who it's like, hey, I've done the church thing. I'm familiar with the Bible. I feel more confident in how God operates and how he flows. But there's like this continuum, and there's this big gap. And so I especially have a heart for those. It's like, look, I'm trying to figure it out. And so, like, I don't know. I'm trying to determine what the voice of the Lord sounds like. And to do that, sometimes I'm asking other people, well, what if they're telling me different things? Like, how do I know? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you distinguish the voices? Because sometimes people, and I think sometimes, by the way, can I say this? I think sometimes people miss God with great intentions. I didn't mean to mess up. I just did, because we're all broken and none of us are perfect. We all miss it. Like, if you're holier than thou, like, you need to just step down a notch or two, because that doesn't work in God's kingdom. And so in my life, and this is kind of how I was brought up, I was pastored well. I was pastored very well. And so the way that a word from the Lord might be given to me or in our church, and I did this just the other night after worship night, I felt like God gave me a word for somebody. And they were gone, and so I called them on the phone. I had them on speakerphone, and I said, I think that God gave me a word for you. And so here's what I did. I did exactly what I was taught to do by my pastor. And this is what I did. I said, listen, I think I've heard a word from God. I want to give it to you. If it confirms with you, if it's good for you, take it. And if it's not, wad that baby up and throw it in the trash can. No offense. Like, it's good. You won't hurt my feelings. But I would rather miss God swinging my bat than watching strikes go across the plate. You know what I'm saying? And so I just called him up and said, hey, I think this is a word from the Lord. I just want to offer it to you. And then you do with it whatever you want. And it was a confirming word and all that stuff, which I was thankful for. But maybe somebody has come and given you a word and you're just like, what is that? Like, it doesn't line up. It doesn't feel right. There's no confirmation. Come on. I think we've all been there. So I don't want you to be mad at the people. We need to learn how to decipher as believers. Okay, God, I want to know your voice. You use people. People are broken. Sometimes we mess it up. So how do I determine that? Okay. All right. Let's get into it. Let's get practical. Y'all ready? Here we go. 1 John 4:1. Dear friends, don't believe everyone who claims to speak by the capital S Spirit. This is Paul. He's speaking to the church, and he's saying, hey, you got to be careful. You can't, like, just because they say they speak for the Lord doesn't necessarily mean they've heard from him. And then it goes on to say that you must, watch this, test them to see if the Spirit, lowercase s, just, I'm still theological, we're about to get real practical, if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. And Paul's giving a warning to the body of Christ. And he's saying you have to be careful because you want to be able to determine that you've actually heard from Jehovah. Because there are other people that may speak and claim to speak on behalf of the Lord, but you got to be careful because just not everybody maybe is in tune exactly to what he is saying. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you four questions that you can ask to screen it. Like what? Like the it, the word, the impression, the leading, the guiding, the thing you're sensing in your spirit, or the thing someone else may say to you, or whatever it may be, the it. Like if I think God might be speaking to me, I'm going to give you four questions to screen and confirm, is this actually from God? So write it down with me. Number one, again, here we get really, really practical. The first question I want you to ask is this: does it agree with the Bible? This is the most important question that needs to be asked when checking something that we sense from God in our spirit is, man, I need to know if it's lining up with the Word of God, the Bible itself, because I'm going to make a declaration that the Bible is the absolute truth. Say amen if you believe that. Absolute truth. It is perfect. It is infallible. It is God's holy Word. So it is important that me as a believer, you as a believer, for those of us who are Christ followers in this room, line our lives up with it. Yeah. Amen. Because yeah. Something has to be true north, and it is God's word. And so if I just know that that's my compass and that is my guide, then everything in my life needs to align with it, because there's going to be competing voices. Pastor Derek talked about that last week in part three. And there are things in my mind that are going to compete with what God wants for me. I need a true north. I need a compass. It is the Bible. And so if I sense that God is leading me to something, calling me to something, speaking something into my life, then the first thing I need to do is I need to compare what I'm hearing. I need to compare it to what he's already said. Because I'm going to give you this. You can take this to the bank. God will never speak anything that conflicts with what he's already said. He's perfect. He's too perfect for that. So people could mess it up and like, oh, well, I guess that does contradict. Not God. Like, he doesn't speak in error. So just a couple verses to support this. And I'm going to help you, because some of you guys are like, I don't really know the Bible. Take it easy, because it's going to, right now at question one, I'm really starting on this side of this spiritual journey, and I'm going to work my way all the way back to no matter where you are, it will help you. Make sense, everybody? All of these are good for all of us who are Christ followers, but I'm going to work my way back to the youngest of us who are trying to figure this whole thing out. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 4, this is a story about Jesus. When the tempter came to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered and said, it is written. And all I want you to see is this is Jesus. He's being tempted by the enemy. Satan's speaking things into his mind. But Jesus goes back to what God already said. He said, no, this is what the word says. This is what God has spoken. I'm staying with my true north. My compass guides me. So he knows that what the enemy is trying to present to him isn't right. Right? And then he just says, hey, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds. I love that word from the mouth of God, because he is a God who speaks. One more just to support the point. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will remain forever. And God is making a declaration that my word is good for all time. And you don't have to question it, because it's solid, it's true, it is right. So the first question that I need to be asking myself, if I'm sensing from God, if someone's saying, hey, I think God said, or whatever it is that I'm trying to say, okay, with what I know of the Bible, does it line up? Are there conflictions? And I'm telling you right now, if it conflicts with what he's already said, throw it out. It is not from God. Second question we're going to ask is this question. It's coming. There it is. Go ahead, throw it in there. Does it make me more like Jesus? This is a big deal, because Jesus is the ultimate disciple maker. And if there's any benchmark that we as believers should be using to guide our lives, really, Jesus is the greatest example. And there's dozens and dozens of amazing examples in the Bible, but we're called to be Christ followers, Christians, right? So my ultimate goal is to look like him. So really, one of the questions is, does it sound like Jesus? And if it does, then I might need to proceed in that direction. But if it does not, then that's giving me caution like Jehoshaphat had. Like, is there anybody else? Because what he was sensing is that something's not lining up with what I know in my spirit of the God that I serve. Again, just for support, a couple of verses. My opinions are pointless, so I like to support everything I say with the Bible, right? Romans 12:2, and I brought this. I could have brought you endless amounts of scriptures that point to us being like Jesus. I picked this one on purpose. The Bible says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And again, if you missed part 3, you should go back and check it out, because Pastor Derek talked about your mind and the battle there and the things that go on there. And there's a renewal process as we walk with God that deepens our understanding of who God is. It's a process. It takes time. It develops. So there's a renewal. And then it says, once your mind is being renewed, then you will be able, watch this, to test. Remember the moments ago, 1 John said, test the spirits, like check them out. Test and approve what God's will is. So like you can move with confidence. Does that make sense, everybody? Like, no. I have some sureties. Like, I know some stuff, and I know that's not of God, but I sense that is, and now all of a sudden I can test and approve and start moving in directions with confidence because I have something to guide my life. And the first one is, man, I need to know the Bible. And listen, no matter how young you are in your spiritual journey, you need to know the Bible. Start, get into it. It's powerful. It speaks for itself. It will transform your life. And listen to me carefully, young Christians, listen, you cannot survive without it. Amen. You cannot. Amen. And so even though you might not have a deep knowledge of it now, don't let that be an excuse. Get into that word and let that word speak to your spirit. Amen. Amen. And then as I get into the word and know him more, I'm going to start to recognize the characteristics of Jesus. And now all of a sudden it's going to be easier for me to identify what is of him and what isn't of him. I want to be more like Jesus. Amen. Number three, and again, I'm just working my way up back. This is very, very important. Does godly counsel agree? Godly counsel. Jehovah counsel. Does it agree? And this is important. Okay, all right. So let's unpack this one just for a couple minutes, and then we'll move on to my fourth question, and we're going to land the plane. All right, you're almost out of here. But this is important for us to know. The question is, does godly counsel agree? Because for some of us, it's like, man, I don't really know. Like you say, does it line up with the Bible? But Pastor, I don't know. Like I'm so brand new. I don't really know what the Bible says about much. I'm trying to figure this thing out. If that's you, all right, I want to congratulate you for being faithful to church. Because this is the number one place the Word of God is going to get unpacked for you to be able to understand it. In fact, there's an amazing couple in our church, and I didn't ask their permission to share this story, so I won't use names, but there's an amazing couple in our church who the wife said, man, before, they believe God brought them to St. Augustine to be a part of this church, actually. Like, we believe God moved us here to be a part of Church on the Rock, and they say because our lives are transforming. They're changing like crazy, and she attests, like, I didn't even really know the Bible. Like, I knew of the Bible, but I didn't really know anything about the Bible. I don't know stories or characters, and she would even say this, like, people would assume, like, well, you know King David. And she's like, no, I don't know. Like, I'm not sure, which is why, by the way, I try my best when I'm preaching the word to just clarify. I don't want to assume that you just know Bible stories because I don't think all of you do, and that's okay. But this is a place where it can begin to become unpacked and taught and understood better. And she says now, it's the coolest thing. She says now, you'll bring us to passages on a Sunday, and she'll be like, I know that story. Like, I know that because she has taught herself how to get into the Word of God for herself. And now she's a daily Bible reader, and she's starting to understand the Bible and understand how God works. And now there's this affirmation and confirmation in her to say, like, I know the Word, and it started here. It just started for her on a Sunday morning. And so my encouragement to you is be faithful to this, because this is what's going to help you get into the understanding of that. Making sense? I'm really trying to be practical. It's really, really important. And so that's just something that I really want to give you, because then I'm going to understand how to be like Christ Jesus. But one of the other things that you can do that is I'm talking about crazy over the top helpful is get into circles of other people who are pursuing God too. We call them life groups. And I want you to really hear the authenticity of my heart. We are not trying to get you in groups so that we can count stuff. Like, oh, we had X amount of groups and X amount of people. Woo, no. We want you in groups because we know it's good for you. Yes. We need relational connection with people going where we're going. And so if I'm going to be a Christ follower, I need to get myself around people who are following Christ. Because the truth is, there are things that you might learn in a conversation over the grill in someone's backyard that you would never get on a Sunday morning. And just, again, I keep referencing you, Pastor Derek, but you dropped bombs on us last week. That message was awesome. And he talked about like understanding and getting into like the relational side and it bringing clarity to the relational clarity to like, I need to be able to take the mask off sometimes and let people into who I really am and be more vulnerable. And over time, relationally, enough trust can be built for me to do that. But it's those kinds of voices that will speak into your life and help guide you, because the biggest win of groups, and yes, I'm making a plug, but I'm making the plug because I think it helps you. The biggest win of groups is when you discover you're not the only one. Yeah. Like, oh, geez, Pastor, you're not as holy as I thought. I know, like I'm trying. But just to know, like, people are real and life is hard, but God calls us onward and upward to something more. And so when I find and build those relationships, and it has to start somewhere, so stretch yourself, be uncomfortable, go to the meeting, meet with the people, make it fit your schedule, do something to create space where you can know that, hey, I've got trusted voices in my life that will affirm and deny what I think God might be saying to me. Amen. Couple verses again. I just like to support it. The Bible says in Proverbs, the way of fools seems right to them, but wise listen to advice. And so I need to hear from the people who are going where I'm going, calling me to where I'm going. Next, Proverbs again, do not go to war without wise guidance. There is safety in many counselors. And so I'm just biblically supporting the idea of being in relationship with people that are chasing God's heart. It's a lifeline to you. It's a lifeline to me. We need it. We need it. Amen. Last question, and I'm almost done. Here we go. The last question is, does it serve others? I think, honestly, question number one is like the best one. But I think this one is the most practical screen that we could run it through. Because let me communicate something to you. Listen, God is about people. And he is about relationships. And he is about the kingdom advancing and people recognizing who his son is, because he knows that's the access point to a relationship with him. And so he's always leading and speaking into us ways that are going to draw people. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. If you need a new car, and you're like, God, will you please provide what I need to be able to get a new car, because this is a clunker and I don't know how I'm making it to work all the time or whatever. Like, it's not bad to say things like, God, can I have a new car? And I do believe that God might say things like, go get a new car. Like, I'm so please, you understand what I'm saying? Like, do not hear what I'm not saying, because God wants to bless you, the individual, and he loves you and he cares about your life and he wants to do good things for you. But when God is leading you, if it's not connected to others, it might not be of him. Because he's a relational God. The first thing in Genesis, God said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was what? It was good. And then God said, let there be this, and there was this, and it was good. And God said, let there be this, and it was good. And we see this thematic thing in Genesis chapter 1 beginning, and then all of a sudden we turn the page, and it's Genesis chapter 2, and we get down to verse 18. And the Bible says that God said, it is not good. And you're like, what? Like all of a sudden, like, what? I thought we had a thing going. It is not good, God said, for people to be alone. He's a God of relationship. The whole thing is founded in relationship. It all starts with Jesus, a relationship that connects us to the Heavenly Father, a relationship. to fulfill the Great Commission, relationships. To connect with the body of Christ, relationships. And so when you feel like God is leading you and guiding you and speaking things into your spirit, ask the question, does this serve others? And if the answer is yes, chances are that it's from the heart of God. All right, for time, I have to land this plane right now. But I want to ask everybody in this room to bow your heads, close your eyes, please. Nobody looking around. I want to ask this question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? Because if you don't, you will not hear the voice of God. You cannot. Because Jesus is the connection to the Father who speaks. And so I recognize that this morning I've communicated a lot to Christ followers. And I recognize that perhaps not all of us in this room, watching online, or listening to a podcast, perhaps are not in that place. But I want to invite you into that place because this is God's desire for you, his hope for you. He wants to know you personally. He wants to know you well because he designed you and he created you on purpose, with a purpose for your life. And so to know God, we have to go through Jesus. Why? Because Jesus, he says these words. You can find it in the New Testament of your Bible in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus declares, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. Jesus clearly identifies the bridge, the connecting point. It is through him. It is because of his sacrifice on the cross for our sins that gives us connection and access to the one true living God, Jehovah. Amen. And so if that's you, whether you're sitting in this room or watching a playback of this message, I just want to invite you to do one thing with me today. Choose. I just want to invite you to choose Jesus. I promise you, be the greatest decision that you've ever made. Your life will transform in the presence of God. And so, church, you guys know how we do it around here. I'm going to ask every single person in the room to repeat this prayer after me. If you're watching this message or listening to this message, wherever you are, I'm just going to ask you, be bold and say these words with me if you're choosing Jesus for the very first time. I want you to say these words, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you give God some praise for those who made a decision?
Thanks for listening to this message from our weekend service.